Northwestern Medicine, relentless in their pursuit of better health care. Learn more at nm.org/better.
The Monday Morning Health Brief is sponsored by Northwestern Medicine, relentless in their pursuit of better health care. Joining us today, the Chief Medical Officer of Northwestern Medicine's Northwest Region of Hospitals, Dr. Irfan Hafiz. Doctor, good morning. Let's talk first about this new research on the difference in sleep patterns between men and women. What does this research tell us?
Sure. Good morning. Yeah, you know, we've known that there's been a lot of sleep pattern, you know, issues and stuff that can affect, you know, overall cardiac health and stuff. But more recently, we've noticed that there's some studies showing that there's a difference between the way women express that versus men. Women tend to have a little more insomnia, a little more trouble getting to sleep, versus men can have more sleep apnea there. So there is a little bit of difference. So addressing them separately may actually provide better health for both groups.
So does this mean that depending on your gender, you should get a different kind of treatment or medication?
It depends. I think it's just putting into light that, you know, the gender may be taken into consideration when overall evaluating. It doesn't mean that there's not a lot of overlap. There probably is a considerable overlap. But just looking at, you know, the ways in which we fall asleep and stay asleep may be slightly different in those patterns.
As you might guess, this is one of our favorite topics here with the morning crew, sleep or lack of it. And there was an interesting report, result of a pair of year-long clinical trials, sleep apnea reduced in folks who took weight loss drugs. What can you tell us about this?
Yeah, these new classes of drugs, as GLP-1 inhibitors, Ozempic, and that class of drugs, have been having some profound health effects. You know, they were initially introduced for diabetes, but the weight loss part of it has been interesting as well. And I think some of the studies looked at, those who were on the drugs and had sleep apnea had a further improvement of their sleep apnea as well. Now, this isn't necessarily directly affecting the sleep apnea, but it's part of that whole weight loss that's occurring, that their sleep apnea got better. And therefore, it's promising that, hey, this may be another reason that this drug may be good for certain groups.
So did you say this includes Ozempic, what the clinical trials looked at?
No, the clinical trials only looked at another drug, tirzepamide, in that category, of which Ozempic is one of those in that large. So this was not looking at that specific drug.
I see. Okay. All right. More to come on that, I'm sure. We've heard for years and years and years that it's not a bad thing to have kids play in the dirt a little bit. But now there's some research suggesting that this might be good for adults, too. Tell us about this.
Yeah, you know, and you know, a lot of this is research going on with the, you know, the gut biome and the type of bacteria that we have, and also some of the exposures that we have in the environment. It does appear that, you know, getting into nature once in a while is actually a good thing. It is intuitive. We've always thought that, but I think the study goes and looks at that a little further, sawing some, you know, reductions in stress and inflammatory effects and so on. There may be some broader benefits of that. So it does seem to be helpful. I really like the term. They call it forest bathing, which is really kind of an interesting term of being out there in nature and getting into it a little bit.
And in this study, they also looked at people who grew up on farms. And these, I don't know, I mean, can you really make the connection that they were healthier?
Yeah, I think it's a little bit of a stretch. I think there's probably some truth to that. I think there's a lot of overlap, a lot of it's lifestyle as well. I mean, if you grew up on a farm, you're obviously more active, you know, and things like that. So I think there's a lot of other things at play here, but I think the point really being is, you know, getting out into nature, whether it's a walk in the park or, you know, horse trail or something like that, doing some gardening, things like that, just getting in touch with nature does have some longer term health effects.
We keep hearing how good exercise is for us. Now there's a new study about this, and they focused on this particular research on the connection between exercising and stress. Tell us about this.
Yeah. So overall, I mean, really what they're looking at is the effect that stress has on things like heart disease and overall stress. And we know that exercise can be a great stress relief. And by doing that, we do kind of reset some of our anxiety. It's a stress relief that way. It also reduces some of our stress hormones and stuff. And all of that goes a long way in actually protecting our heart. And some of these studies really looked at by decreasing some of those stress-related signals that we're able to reduce some heart disease as well. And through that, probably some other benefits such as high blood pressure, strokes, and other things that are related to that kind of cardiovascular risk.
Is the advice, the best advice, still at least 30 minutes a day?
Probably is probably where to go. However, it doesn't mean that if you can't get to the 30 minutes that you have no benefit. Even 1 to 2 days a week has some incremental benefit. By the time you get to 30 minutes a day, you're probably getting a good amount of the benefit that you need to do. You don't have to be working out for hours a day in order to get some of this type of benefit. Now, there are other benefits and that you may have by exercising more. But I think the point being that moderate amount of activity, you know, a little bit of exercise for that 30 minutes a day goes a long way.
Finally, and we've been talking about this here lately, yogurt. How healthy is it? What do the new studies tell us about this, Doctor?
Yeah, so there was a study that was published recently in the Frontiers of Nutrition, and that kind of looked at some of the risk factors for diabetes and overall weight loss and stuff. And they found that about 100 grams of yogurt a day can have quite a bit of benefit in affecting reducing obesity, also having some positive effects on diabetes control as well. So there are some long-term benefits that can be seen with that. Now, this by no means is the cure for diabetes. Certainly consult your doctor, take the medications as prescribed, but a decent amount of yogurt in your diet, which has tended to be a little bit less than some diets, can have some benefits. So please do take a look at yogurt again.
Doctor, you've been to the grocery store lately? There's 10 billion kinds of yogurt. Which one are you supposed to get? There's Greek yogurt, and there's low-fat yogurt, and flavored yogurt. What's best?
I think first start with the one that you like. I think, personally, I do like the Greek yogurt. If you are dealing with cholesterol-related issues, the low-fat one may be the one right for you. But at the end of the day, it's taking the one that you like. Now, some of them do have high amounts of sugar, so you do want to just look at the sugar. Probably a low-sugar one is probably more healthier for you.
Dr. Irfan Hafiz, Northwestern Medicine. All right, I'm going to take you shopping with me. I think that's the answer. Have a good week, sir. Thank you very much.
You too. Thanks.